Here on Occam's Razor, our soapbox for science, I, Tegan Taylor, try to bring you science that's deeply applicable to your daily life, which is why this week's speaker is so fitting, because I can't think of anything more relatable than the science of ice cream. Here's food science student and former chef, Lisa Hopkins.
Everything in life has led me to be exactly where I should be today at 47 years of age. High school learning was not fun. My report cards averaged VLAs, which is short for very low achievement. My parents thought that a chef's apprenticeship might be more productive than further schooling. So at the age of 14, I left school and I started my working career. Naturally, this grew into the love of all things food and the need to learn more. My chef's apprenticeship involved working in restaurants primarily with seafood and Italian cuisine. Somehow after those first months of only being allowed to peel 20 kilo bags of potatoes and onions, I was eventually taught to make such things as how to make a divine tiramisu and how to shuck the freshest of oysters. I worked in a variety of roles and location in Australia, Europe and America, from fine dining to sourdough to ice cream, to a private chef on a family yacht in the Mediterranean. Working on pastry in particular, I developed a passion for understanding the finer details of food. It was around this time I was introduced to a book by Harold McGee. It was called The Science and Lore of the Kitchen. The language was simple and clear, and the book really inspired me. Many years later, I was drawn to attend university to study food science after working with passionate food scientists at a family company called Weis Ice Cream. They made me realise my passion for food and science. There are many different ways to make ice cream as a chef or as a food scientist. As a chef, I was taught to make ice cream the traditional way, the French way. It's called an anglaise. It's a recipe of egg custard consisting of eggs, sugar, a mixture of half milk and half cream, and it's cooked slowly over a low heat to not scramble the eggs until the back of a spoon is coated. Then you would add any quality ingredients depending on your desired results and if it was being paired with a dessert. If it were a dark chocolate ice cream, you would add a 50 or 70% cocoa solids. For a roast of hazelnut ice cream, a delicious dark roasted hazelnut paste would be used, one that you could easily eat out of the jar with a spoon. For a mango ice cream, the freshest, tastiest mangoes would be sourced and a squeeze of lemon would be added to enhance the mango flavour. I choose my words very carefully here, but as a chef, you are generally less bound. Less bound by such things as costs, within limits, manufacturing capabilities, viscosity, which is the thickness of the mix, handling of large amounts of ingredients and long shelf lives. As a chef, you have the luxury of making mixes hands-on that are very small from start to finish. And if there's an issue with an ingredient supply, you have the ability to change the menu. There is much to consider when formulating ice cream in a food manufacturing environment. Problems like, can the ingredients needed be supplied in volumes to fill the forecasted 500,000 tubs for the year? And if the shelf life at best before is 1 year, the quality of that product needs to hold up for that time. Formulation is a combination of art and science. One way a food scientist could formulate ice cream in a food manufacturing environment could be something like this. The ingredient list could contain sugar, glucose, water, stabilizers such as locust bean gum, guar gum, could contain milk solids, cream and vanilla, or even berries or dark chocolate. Looking at the back of a supermarket tub of ice cream, you've probably seen ingredient lists a lot longer than this. Stabilizers such as locust bean gum are added as it helps contribute to the creamy mouthfeel and helps hold in the air when the ice cream is frozen. Guar gum, another stabilizer, would suspend vanilla bean seeds or any inclusion in the vat to keep them evenly distributed from the first tub until the last. This could be up to a 48-hour period. Milk solids from milk powder are added to meet a minimum of 10% milk fat, which is the Australian Food Standards law to be able to label ice cream on pack. Fresh cream is added to give that fresh cream fatty mouthfeel. Sugar delivers on the sweetness and the indulgence of the cream and contributes to the creamy mouthfeel also. Glucose, another type of sugar, gives the ice cream more chew, more body. So all of these ingredients are added to help with the taste or for a function in the ice cream. The structure of ice cream under a microscope is called microstructure. This consists of air bubbles, ice crystals, and the ice cream mix. As the ice cream is churned, it's frozen, and the air incorporated is called overrun. This can range from 30 to 100%. A 30% overrun tub is generally very dense, rich, and creamy. However, too little air, such as 0% air, would result in a very hard and icy ice cream tub. 100% overrun would be very light and fluffy and not very indulgent at all. So next time you're at that store and you pick up that tub of ice cream and it feels very light, it's probably light because it's 100% air in the tub. So when ice cream is churned, if the ice crystals are very small, the result is a very creamy, smooth mouthfeel. If the ice crystals are too large, this will result in an icy, grainy, unindulgent ice cream. You've probably experienced this before when you've bitten into a tub or a bar of ice cream and there's ice forming in it. This can be caused from a storage freezer running warmer than minus 18 degrees, which causes the water to separate out of the ice cream mix and refreeze as larger crystals. So the experience of eating ice cream is one of pure pleasure. One of the sad things about eating ice cream is there's often no aroma when a tub of ice cream is presented to you. It's not until you've had that first mouthfeel that it transitions from a solid frozen substance in your mouth to fluid. The flavour is released as the ice cream melts and warms in your mouth. When considering university study, I was unsure if I had the academic ability. I always thought to go to university, you had to be naturally academic. I didn't realise this was something that could be worked at. So when I decided to go to university, it had been 30 years since I'd attended school. Yes, 30 years. So I enrolled in a tertiary prep program to meet the requirements to enrol then in a Bachelor of Science. I'm studying full-time at the University of Southern Queensland in my third year of an undergraduate Bachelor of Science, majoring in food science and plant agriculture. My research interests have been inspired by my time as a chef and involve reducing food waste from farms, food manufacturing, and the home. Just recently, over this summer, I was invited to be part of the No Waste Pilot Precinct and Simple Hub. This is University of Southern Queensland's projects helping design a more sustainable future. This was to get experience researching on broad waste problems that have impacts today. I specifically worked on a new product pathway for plastic-coated paper waste. The project involved using single-use coffee cups and wax corrugated boxes that are used for cold food storage. They were then processed and pressed into hardboard-like panels, and subsequent testing was completed to understand the direction for the project. The future hope for this project is that used food packaging could have a 100% life cycle and be seen more as a resource material rather than a landfill. Working as a chef has taught me a lot about food and life, and I would not change anything that has led me to this exact moment. I look forward to completing the last year of my degree, potentially going on to honours. I love having the ability to bring the chef and the science together to work as one to solve food-inspired problems.
That was Lisa Hopkins, who's in her third year of studying a Bachelor of Science, majoring in Food Science and Agriculture at the University of Southern Queensland. Lisa was speaking at our Occam's Razor live event as part of World Science Festival Brisbane on the lands of the Yuggera and Turrbal people. I'm Tegan Taylor, your Occam's Razor host, and I'll be feeding you more of the creme de la creme of science next week.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.